Is it too easy to recall a public official in Wisconsin? Current law says no specific reason needs to be given to attempt a recall effort, but a proposed constitutional amendment would change that. The proposal will get a public hearing this morning at the state capitol. We'll preview the issue in our first half hour this morning. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday, February the 9th. Do you think the Wisconsin Constitution should be changed to make it more difficult to recall a public official? Should a specific reason be needed, such as a crime or an ethics violation by the lawmaker or the governor? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us on Twitter at Joy Cardine Show. Maybe we can say if this were on the ballot today, how would you vote? Yes or no or why? Charlie Jacobs is our guest, assistant professor of political science at St. Norbert College in De Pere. Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, before we get into the constitutional amendment proposal, I wanted to touch base with you on a couple of news developments in recall news and see if you could give us your quick take on the state news story we just heard about. And I hope you heard it while you were waiting on hold. Kathleen Falk, a former Dane County executive who has said she will run as a Democrat against Governor Walker in a recall election, was endorsed or will be endorsed by WEAC, the teachers' union, in part because she says she would restore collective bargaining rights in her first budget or would veto any budget that would contain the restrictions on collective bargaining rights. Just your thought on how significant this is.
I mean, I think it's significant to the extent that you see the interested groups and individuals in elections not getting stuck as the way they may have felt they got stuck with Governor Walker, who claims that he clearly stated that what he was going to do and all the promises that he made during the election campaign. And so maybe this is dotting the I's and crossing the T's and making sure that everyone, in essence, swears upon some sort of fiat that they will act in a particular way for a political party or for a group. So I think that's part of what's motivating this, so that the public is absolutely clear what they'll get if they elect somebody like Falk to the position of governor in the state. These kinds of things happen behind closed doors or in private meetings all the time. It's just a little bit different because it's so public, and they've made it such a public process this time. But again, I think part of it is buyer's remorse for some with the current governor.
Mm-hmm. And one more news development. There's another Kathleen in the Democratic race for governor, should there be a recall, with State Senator Kathleen Vinehout of Alma, a farmer entering the race. Your thoughts?
It's starting to get maybe a little bit more crowded in the race, and I'm not sure whether or not that's going to prove to be advantageous to the Democrats. It stretches out the process a little bit, but it also exhausts coffers that can be used to help elect a Democrat. The governor has been quickly raising as much cash as possible in this window he has to gain unlimited funds. So any kind of primary process for the Democrats might be quite difficult, and any time you add additional candidates, you just sort of muddy the water.
Yeah, and you would expect, though, that more Democrats would enter or not?
I'm not sure what the playing field looks like to those who think that they might have a shot. Again, the more names you add to the hat, I think the less likely you are to see more individuals join. You shrink the available money to raise for your own primary campaign, and then, of course, it becomes more and more difficult to run a credible general election campaign. And so it might be a point where the Democratic leadership itself steps in and starts to discourage people so that they have a few credible candidates to run in a primary, but they don't have such a sort of a cacophony of voices all shouting about what policies they'll implement that the public loses interest or just isn't hearing the message that's being propounded by Democrats.
Oh. Well, the verification of the petition signatures continues from the Government Accountability Board. We don't know yet if there are enough valid signatures, but given that a million were submitted, Would you expect that that there is going to be a recall for Governor Walker, given the total submitted and only 540,000 were needed?
Given the total and some of the preliminary analyses that seem to suggest that the error rate, the number of invalid signatures they're finding is somewhere around 15% or so, it seems likely that the governor's going to be recalled. Never say never, I guess, that this couldn't happen. But at the same time, it seems like those who wanted the recall really beat the bushes just to make sure that they had so many more signatures than necessary that there was almost no way they'd be denied their opportunity to remove the governor.
Well, those people who signed those petitions were doing so because of dissatisfaction with Governor Walker and perhaps very unsatisfied with his ending of collective bargaining rights for most public employees, but other issues as well. This proposed constitutional amendment would make it harder to recall a governor. Tell us how this would work.
Well, the proposal is trying to impose for state legislators and for state elected officials the same kinds of standards that are now required for local officials. Currently, you can recall a state official for any reason whatsoever. And in fact, you don't really have to claim a reason. Mm-hmm. But for local officials, you actually have to point to some sort of violation, some sort of reason why you are going to remove them from office. So this is an attempt to try to restrict just sort of random removal or attempts to remove individuals by making it necessary to demonstrate that the actor you wish to recall has committed a serious crime or has violated the state code of ethics for officials. So it creates those two barriers to removal.
Yeah. And the violating the state code of ethics, there are specific things that a lawmaker or a politician would not be able to do, and if they do, they could be recalled.
Exactly. And the amendment mandates that there is a code of ethics, so it can't be removed. But the code of ethics talks about basically those kinds of behaviors that we find appalling in public officials, where they're selling their office, they're taking bribes, they're using their office for some sort of private benefit. It's not a particularly long list of ethical violations, but it's ones that I think the public finds most egregious when we find out public officials do them.
Mm-hmm. Recalling a public official, though, on a statewide level is not necessarily an easy task, is it?
No, it's not. I mean, you have to reach a high bar to find voters in the district in which the person was elected, and you have to find voters who are willing to pen their name on a petition. You have a short window to collect these signatures, and you really only have one chance to do this. So it's not as though people are going to constantly be on the streets with petitions, repeatedly trying to remove a single person from office. So it's not something I think that most voters or most opponents to a particular official would take very lightly and jump into unless they thought there was public support for the movement.
Mm-hmm. Well, we are talking about a public hearing that will be held today on a proposed constitutional amendment that would make it somewhat harder to recall elected officials in Wisconsin. It would require a specific reason for a recall effort, such as a serious crime or an ethics violation. Should Wisconsin's constitution be changed when it comes to recalls? 1-800-642-1234. What do you think? What questions do you have? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Checking our weather forecast for today, it's going to be mostly sunny, getting cloudier in the northwest this afternoon. Highs will be in the low to mid-30s. Tonight, cloudy with a chance of snow mainly along the Great Lakes, and tomorrow, a cloudy cold day with a chance of snow, especially in the north. Highs tomorrow in the teens and 20s. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 18 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday, February the 9th. Coming up after 6:30 this morning, we will talk with a timber wolf conservationist about a proposal for a wolf hunt in Wisconsin. We'll talk with a guest from the Timber Wolf Alliance. Coming up in our next half hour. Right now we are talking about a proposal that some have said is recall the recall. There's a hearing at the state capitol this morning on a proposed constitutional amendment to make it harder to recall elected officials in Wisconsin. And we're wondering whether you think this is a good idea or not. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We're talking with Charlie Jacobs, Assistant Professor of Political Science at St. Norbert College. And before we get to the phones, we need to clarify if there is a proposed constitutional amendment to Professor Jacobs, that means it's going to be a while before something like this would ever be on the books.
Right, there has to be a first reading or a first proposal, and it has to be passed through by the legislature, majority of both chambers, and then it sort of sits and gets publicized, and then it has to, in the form it was first passed, be passed a second time by a majority, and then it has to be placed on a ballot for the public to approve or disapprove.
Yeah, and so this would not affect any recalls this year.
No, and in that regard, Representative Voss doesn't seem particularly self-interested. It can't affect him. It can't affect any other Republicans. It can't affect anybody currently in office. It's going to take quite a bit of time for this to actually take effect and change the way in which the public can affect those who are in public office.
You know, he said when he introduced this that he does not want recalls to become the norm. Are we in any danger of that happening?
Well, that's hard to say because last year was such an anomaly. It was the year of the recall, as some writers have called it. We had 151 individuals across the country recalled in 2011, and we also had the greatest number of recalls of state legislators, 11 nationwide, that we've ever had. So whether or not that's 1 year's a trend is hard to say right now, but certainly it was unusual, and it's the kind of thing that once you get some traction with this, it might be that the public finds this a really useful vehicle to achieve ends they typically can't in November. I mean, one of the things to remember is that most people get reelected to office, but of those 151 recalls, 85 of the officials were thrown out of office, which means it seems like you have a better chance of removing an incumbent through a recall than you do through the typical reelection process.
Let's take a call from Dan in Fond du Lac County. Hello, Dan.
Hello.
Yes, what do you think?
I do not agree with it. I believe it takes the power. The government is supposed to be there for the people, by the people. So I do not agree with the proposal.
Why do you think it takes the power away from the people, Dan?
Well, they're making it, I mean, if there's a limited list of things that they have to do wrong, you know, in order for it to recall, you know, they're putting a limit on it. You know, his behavior to me is unethical, but if that's not on the list, then we have no power to recall.
Yeah. Professor Jacobs?
I mean, that's one of the issues, that those who want to maintain recalls argue that it's going to limit the majoritarian impulses of the public. And if they think that somebody's being unresponsive or incompetent, and of course that's a judgment by the public, and if they feel that their elected official isn't doing the job that they sent them to do, they should be able to remove them. But on the other hand, one of the problems is that you're going to change behavior of those who are elected. They have to have a certain measure of independence to make, even as Representative Voss said, the tough choice. I mean, sometimes you have to make some vote. You have to propose something in a legislature that the electorate doesn't like, but it's like taking castor oil. It's what you have to do. And so there's the balance that you often have to strike with these kinds of policies.
Katie on Facebook writes, just because you don't like the way someone voted is not a reason to recall that person. A recall should only be for illegal or unethical activities. We have elections for a reason. And if you didn't like the results, then you need to wait until the next election cycle. But that prompted this response from Joe on Facebook. That is precisely the purpose of the recall law as it stands now. It prevents elected officials from running amok in the years between elections. If the threat of a recall means my legislator takes my phone call next time, I'm all for it.
And I think that the second commenter is pointing out a potential issue with this code of ethics. If the development and implementation of a code of ethics is left to the people that you might want to recall, they can make the list of violations so small and so cramped that unless you have a serious crime committed, which is usually what we describe as a felony, you have almost no recourse to remove. And for somebody who might be serving 4 years, you might have a significant length of time stuck with somebody that you really don't think is effectively doing the job.
We'll go next to Carl in Madison. Hello, Carl.
I don't think that they should change the recall. The way it's working now is fine. My issue is when somebody, politician, campaigns and says what they're going to do, and then they change what they're doing. We need this to keep politicians in check. Otherwise, they can say whatever they want to say and get in office and do an about face on you. Mm-hmm. And the other thing I see, I go, you know, they want to cut the budgets. That's fine. But we have collective bargaining agreements that were binding contracts that were signed by the union, signed by the state, and they're for a period of time. The time to adjust these contracts is at contract time, not in the middle of a contract. That's right. What I'm saying. And I drive around the state, and I see lights lit up that are just for beauty, not for... Not for safety. They're for beauty, and they got these things lit up. And I'm like, why aren't you cutting budgets on beautifying lighting? I mean,
well, all right, Carl. I guess we're getting into some other areas here. But Carl said he didn't know this was going to happen, and he thinks that that the lawmakers and the governor dropped a bomb there.
And to a certain extent, almost anybody can understand that frustration, but sometimes people run for office with imperfect information, and they make promises that they literally cannot keep because of the information that then they're presented with when they are occupying the seat that they've been elected to. And also conditions change. Watch as Governor Walker struggles to meet his promise of 250,000 jobs. I suspect that he probably believed the economy would pick up steam and he would be able to affect it in a more positive way, and he's been saddled with an economy that has creeped along in its improvement. So, how do you fault these people? Do you hold them to the absolute letter of their promise, or do you recognize that there are variables that can impact their ability to achieve the ends that they offered you in the first place?
This proposed constitutional amendment, Assembly Joint Resolution 63, is scheduled for a hearing before the Assembly Committee on Election and Campaign Reform. It meets today at 10 o'clock. It is the proposal of Republican State Representative Robin Voss. It is co-sponsored by a number of Republican lawmakers, but also co-sponsored, I found this interesting, Senators Harsdorf and Holprin. Now, State Senator Holprin is a Democrat who was targeted in a recall election because he was one of the 14 Democratic state legislators who left the state over this debate. He was also targeted for a recall many years ago for another issue. So I think he's faced two recall attempts.
Yeah, maybe he's tired of getting picked on, being the pinata in the room, and I think that probably is a motivation too. When you think what you've done is right for the public and right for your constituents, and you try to make that argument and articulate it, it's sometimes difficult when the only response comes in the form of, this sort of axe that doesn't cut finely and see the nuances that are reviewed by members of the legislature, that they are not often just sort of slashing through the bushes, but they're trying to make a way that satisfies the majority of the public with harming as few as possible. So I think in retrospect, he recognizes that there might be a need to rein in the public a little bit.
Our next caller is Craig in Onalaska. Hello, Craig.
Good morning. My comment is Republicans generally talk about a strict interpretation of the Constitution, basically at the federal level, but I'm assuming that a lot of them would do that at the state level, too. And since our founding fathers did not put any requirements in, then I think we should follow the Constitution. And we should not have any major changes to the way that we can recall people.
Yeah. Do we need to have a constitutional amendment to change this, though, Professor Jacobs?
We do. The state Supreme Court has said in the past that you can't create any other conditions for the recall. So any changes would have to be made through this process. And Craig is right that you do see arguments for what's called a four-corner approach. You sort of stick to the words on the document. But that's why we have an amendatory process. It's that if we think the founding fathers erred or if we want to make a change that fits contemporary society better, we go and do it. And that's why the process is much more cumbersome than simple legislation. Two readings, plus it has to go to the public. At the federal level, it's two-thirds of both chambers and three-quarters of the states. These are high hurdles to get over, so you don't do it on a whim. You have to garner a significant amount of support from the public in order to achieve these ends. To a certain extent, it's limiting the ability to willy-nilly change the Constitution, like you don't want to willy-nilly recall individuals.
Given the makeup of the legislature, at least as it is now, do you see any problems with this type of proposed constitutional amendment making it through two sessions of the legislature?
Considering the current political climate, I doubt it's going to have much trouble getting through a first reading. We'll see what happens in the next legislative session, and we'll see what the public decides on it. One of the other reasons I think it's going to have some traction is because Representative Voss himself has made significant arguments about the cost of doing the recalls, both at the state level, but for localities who have to implement these. So in years where we have significant budget issues, it's likely that this is going to be appealing to many who see cost savings.
Yeah, one quick one. We'll see if Tom in Burlington. Be very brief if you can. We're almost at news.
Sure. I think really the only problem with the existing recall rules is just the threshold. I think it's rather low. I think if the spirit of the recall process was if the public thinks that an elected official is not doing their job and needs to be out of office, to recall them, you should need to get one more signature than the number of votes cast in favor of that person in the last election. I think right now, by having the threshold so low, it really disenfranchises a lot of the people that voted in favor of an official the last time.
Thank you, Tom. Do you agree that the threshold is low, Professor Jacobs?
That's six of one, half dozen of another. It's lower than a general election, but at the same time, when you're trying to garner support of a public in an off month, trying to get them interested in politics, it's sometimes difficult.
We'll leave it there for now. Thank you very much for being with us.
You're welcome.
Charlie Jacobs, Assistant Professor of Political Science at St. Norbert College, talking with us about this proposed constitutional amendment that would require that a public official has committed a crime or violated some ethical code in order to be recalled. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.